This story is both a happy story and a sad story. Can anybody tell me what is happy about the story of Bethana? There are a few kids here. Do you have any ideas? What was happy about the story? Any adults? This is not rhetorical. What was happy about her story? She stopped thinking of herself. Anything else? She is searching. Anything else? She did. She experienced a miracle. Mm-hmm.
The good news.
And there was good news. Okay, and she was invited along, right, on a search. But what is sad about this story? Yes, Sophia?
She never found
it. Yes, she never found what she was searching for. Well, the birth of Jesus invited Bethana into a search and invites us all into a search. Claire is going to come. Where are you, Claire? There you are. Is going to come and read a psalm. It's number 27. And I want us all to listen for what it says about searching or seeking.
Good morning. My name is Claire. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. And though war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your ways, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, or false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will seek the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. This is the word of God.
Be to God. Thank you, Claire. So, what does Psalm 27 say about searching or seeking? Listen to verse 4 again. It says, "One thing I desire of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." And then in verse 8, it says, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." I don't think it means that all of us should move into Olivet Church for the rest of our lives and have scavenger hunts looking for God, although that might be fun for a little while. How do we search for God? Well, raise your hand if you have lost something recently. Keys, glasses, a book. All of us lose stuff. I lose my mittens sometimes, or my gloves. And when I do, it drives me crazy. And what happens? I start looking and wondering, now, where did I leave those mitts? What coat was I wearing? Were they wet when I came in from shoveling? Did I put them in the dryer? Then I ask my family, have you seen my mitts? Have you used my mitts? Will you please help me find my mitts? And fortunately, I usually do find them, stuck in some pocket or drawer, and my search is over. In some ways, searching for God is kind of the same. We start by asking questions, and we ask others for help in our search. We do find God, and we become part of God's forever family. But in other ways, it is different. We can find our mitts, and like I said, the search is over. We can find Jesus, and we accept him as our Lord. But the seeking after God part never ends. It is a lifelong job. Because we want to know who God is. We want to know how God works. We want to know more about God's amazing love for us. But every time we have a question answered, there seems to be another one. And often the answers are mysterious, and we can't really understand them. Because God is bigger than we can possibly imagine. God is more beautiful and more awesome than we can possibly imagine. And the questions we have lead us to wonder and worship and praise. And the cool thing about our searching or seeking after God is that lots of other people are doing the same thing, obviously. We gather together as a group in Olivet Kids, in our worship times, in our small groups, in youth group. We gather for eating times in our community lunches. We gather to serve our neighborhood because we are seeking God together. So we ask questions like, how shall I pray for you this week? Or, what do you think we could do for our friend who is sick? Or, what is it like for you when God doesn't seem to be listening? And we help each other see and seek the face of God when we say things like, that sounds like an answer to prayer. Or, God is the only one who can help us forgive each other. Or, God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. How are you conducting your search for God? We're going to do some worshiping as a response to that. So, Grant, will you come up, please? Our questions do lead us to worship. It's a good thing. So, we have looked at the first question, how are you conducting your search for God? But we have one more question to go. Every January, here in Olivet, something special happens. There is a theme. Does anybody know the theme of this month? Yes, good. Missions. That's right. So, what does seeking God have to do with missions? Well, what do you do when you find something that you are looking for? You tell somebody, hey mom, I found my mittens. They were in my other jacket. Or, guess what? That $50 I got from Grandma for Christmas, I put it in my sock drawer. The second question we need to think about is, who are you going to invite along on your search for God? With whom will you share your good news? Last week, James Grunow from Journey Home, the group that runs the Welcome Houses next door, spoke to us about God's call on our lives to be continuously switching allegiances from our kingdom to God's kingdom. He also said that the entrance to God's kingdom is by invitation, and it's open to everyone. God invites us to seek Him, and we invite others to join us in the search. Now, how do we do that? Does it mean going up to a friend of yours and grabbing them by the shoulders and saying, "Hey, you need Jesus. You need to come to Olivet next week at 10:30. I don't think so. I don't think that's how an invitation works. There must be better ways. Now, I've asked two people to come up and share a little bit about how they are inviting people in their lives to share their search for God. So would you guys come up, please? Sound people, they will talk into this. Okay, so first of all, I'd like you to introduce yourselves. Just say, you know, your name and maybe a little something about yourself. So Wendy, why don't you start?
Okay. My name is Wendy Amy, and I have been going to Olivet for many years, and I am a teacher librarian at a high school in Burnaby.
Okay, Jason?
Hello, my name is Jason Boyer. I've got four children. I live in Surrey, Fraser Heights area, and work downtown, and I'm a council member just like Wendy and Shirley, and also teach some of the Sunday school as well.
Okay, great. They are going to give us an example of how they invite others to seek after God. So Wendy, why don't you start?
Okay, as I said, I'm a teacher librarian, and I work in a high school. I wasn't going to come up here, but Shirley is very persuasive. And partly because I feel a little bit like an imposter. I don't feel like I found, maybe a little bit like old Bafana. I haven't really found enough yet. And so, but she said, well, that's okay. So here I am. I don't talk about my faith at work a whole lot. Burn Creek is a secondary high school. It's just, you know, but I try to be the kind of person that people will want to come to talk to if they want to raise questions, and I try to be a positive person. Some mornings I'm kind of like old Bafana. I related a lot to her. Okay. I feel a little bit crabby. And after the first time I'm snapping at somebody, I think, okay, Wendy, okay, you're going to have to start thinking about this a little bit more. And on Friday I had a little bit of a story. There were two boys that came in that we knew that they weren't really supposed to be there. The idea is that you're supposed to go to class when you're at school. And so when they come in and they sit down, I'm sitting at my desk, and I look over sort of toward the, like, as far away as the organ. Guys, is there somewhere else that you should be right now? One of them looks at me and he says, I'm going. Chill. Okay, that one didn't work very well, did it? So I thought, okay. So I got up and I walked around my desk and I went over and I said, all right, I'm sorry, it probably was not appropriate for me to call across the room like that at you, but I'm here now, and it'd probably be a good idea if you go to class. He took his time, but he did eventually go. So that was just sort of one way that I try to be genuine. Okay, sorry, I made a mistake. All right, now let's sort of get on with the other things. But the real story that I was going to tell you is that there's sort of a homework tutoring time that happens in the library after school, Monday to Thursday. And there's some teachers for whom that is their job to be there to help the kids. And some days it is crazy busy. All three of us are busy. But there are other days where it's kind of quiet and people don't need much help. And so over the years, I'll call her Shelley, and I have had times for conversation. And we just talk about things, personal things, life things, school things, and sometimes spiritual things. And we're both kind of fixers, and so sometimes the conversation gets into things that aren't going so well at school, maybe what we think is kind of unfair in the way things are happening, or maybe things that have been happening in the classroom or in the library. And so sometimes at the end of these conversations, we both go away feeling kind of bad. We haven't been able to fix anything. Maybe even feeling a bit guilty for some of the things that we have said, maybe not really kind. And so this summer, toward the end of the summer, I was reading in the Mosaic. This is the issue that I was reading. It's a newsletter, magazine, journal, or whatever for the Canadian Baptist Ministries, our missions arm. And I was reading in this one, and I came to a part there, and Anna Robbins writes about grace. And she writes about how we can see grace at work around us day by day. And where we don't see grace, we can be grace. As I was reading, I was reminded about some of these conversations that Shelley and I have. And now Shelley admits that she kind of went to church when she was a kid, but now she's not really quite so sure what she thinks. There probably is a God, but she's not really sure where it goes. And I kind of relate to that sometimes. So when I came back to school this September, I decided to look for an opportunity to talk to Shelley about what I read about grace and how much I value our conversations and how sometimes we both end up feeling so terrible. But so I've discovered something that might help. I gave her the whole article, but then I also told her which part really hit me. Anna Robbins writes about how grace is love that goes beyond justice to stop focusing on me and to focus on others. Grace changes us and turns us inside out. I wanted to be able to bring more grace into Burn Creek. Grace. So Shelley was interested because she understood where I was coming from. I told Shelley about how Anna Robbins writes that grace is not just something big that God did for us, but it is something that we can do every day. But it's not easy. So I asked Shelley if we could help each other to bring more grace to Burn Creek. And so we agreed that when we see unfairness, we could try to influence it and to change it, but in a positive way. And if we found ourselves feeling critical and negative, we could try to look for ways to bring grace to our conversation. It has helped, but it hasn't been easy. In fact, just the other day we were talking about some of the usual thing, and Shelley said, "Wendy, I'm not sure if I can bring grace to this one." And it was funny because I'd kind of even forgotten about it already. But there it was. It was a neat connection. And we're only 4 months into the school year, but it's still happening. And I just wanted to share Anna Robbins' final paragraph, and she kind of sums it up. "We allow grace to work through our lives every day so that we are the first to smile, the first to hold the door, the first to ask the other how things are for them, and listen with sincerity. It is to move ourselves out of the center and realize that that place belongs to Christ. As we receive his grace, we pour ourselves out wherever we go, splashing grace all over the encounters we have with others. Grace in the everyday."
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so I work in downtown Vancouver in sort of the finance, accounting, banking world, and Shirley asked me midweek if I were willing to present a few points, and I was taking the train in, as I do every day. I told Shirley that I would reflect and pray on that. And I came up with really the key message is vulnerability, humility, and forgiveness, and the importance of those three things, particularly in an environment that is very high-paced, high-stressed, and I will call it full of distractions. For a lot of people, that would angle them away from seeking God. And so I think it's reminding those people of those types of things. And, you know, I think the way that that is done in an environment such as that is just showing people. And so, for example, there's a lot of conversations that I have with people that are kind of within an age bracket, say 25 to 35. About half the people I work with are about in that demographic. You know, I'll call them kind of single or newly married, maybe having kids, and, you know, a lot of stresses on these people, and there's relational breakdown all over the place. And, you know, because this is intergenerational, my work is sort of like a classroom, okay? And sometimes for some of the students in the classroom, the lights are on, but there's no teacher at the front, and the teacher here is Jesus Christ. For other students, the lights are fully off, and they're in complete darkness. And for other students that I work with, the lights are on and the teacher's at the front of the room. And so I have to be mindful that everyone's at a different place in their journey. And some people, the lights are fully off. And that's where, you know, some conversations where there are people in complete darkness. And I think, you know, trying to be a light of the world is often where I come down to. And, you know, I was very encouraged in one certain case that a coworker actually acknowledged that they did take the big first hard step to go to a Sunday service and go to church for the first time since they were a kid. And that was a good reminder and encouragement for me. So I think it shows people that I don't think there's any shortage of information in today's world. We were reading about John Knox, the great Presbyterian Scottish minister, recently about how his big mandate some centuries ago was to open the Bible to people. Like, people didn't even have the information. I think today it's so readily available for people. It's just a reminder as to why it's there and how a Sunday morning with community and belonging can be actually quite valuable and give them that reminder. So that's my story about showing. So thank you, Shirley. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you. Wow, took a lot of courage for them to do that. Thank you. So the question is, for the rest of us, who is it that we are called to invite on our search? Is it somebody in your soccer or on your soccer team? Is it a neighbor? Is it a classmate? Is it a coworker? It takes courage, like I said. It also takes a winsome manner. I think we need God's help to do this well. I'm going to pray for us now, and in my prayer, I'm going to make a space for you to call out the name or initials of somebody in your life that needs Jesus. So let's pray together. Dear God, thank you that when we seek you, because you love us, we find you. Thank you for who you are. We bring to you now the names of people in our lives who need you. We ask that you give us courage and opportunities to invite them along on our search for you. Some of those people are... Thank you, God, for each person here and each person that has come to our minds and hearts. And thank you, God, for what you will do in the lives of our friends and in our lives too. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.